Lunchtime Live with Kira Kelly on News Talk.
One of the things that we are going to talk about on today's show is all of the calls for kindness that have taken place in the wake of TV star Caroline Flack's death. There's a petition online now talking about what we need to do or change, because I think quite a lot of people are rightly pointing out the role that both the British tabloid media and social media, which is very possibly, in my view, the cruelest media of all, played in her death. Have a listen to her friend and fellow broadcaster, Laura Whitmore, talking about this very thing.
You don't have to tear down someone to feel good about yourself. So to listeners, be kind. Only you are responsible for how you treat others and what you put out in the world. I've had messages, I've been harassed for just doing my job, and this is where the problem is. And I want to use my platform, this platform, to call people out because it's gone too far. Your words affect people. To paparazzi and tabloids looking for a cheap sell, to trolls hiding behind a keyboard. Enough.
Enough. Enough. I think she's right. And I'd love to know what you think, though. 53106. Do we need more kindness online? Do we need to do away with anonymity online? Because is that part of the issue, that if you're hiding behind an egg account or, some kind of a name that isn't yours, you do behave differently? It's like wearing a mask. And when you're wearing that mask, you are free to behave whatever way you want. 53106. Have you been somebody who has been trolled online or abused online or set upon by the mob online? Or indeed, and this is probably more interesting because I bet you don't see yourself this way, are you one of the mob? And there's lots of people out there who were. I have to say, I was very sad over the weekend about Caroline Flack dying. I don't know Caroline Flack. I don't pretend to have any relationship to her in that way. But it struck me, what made me very sad was the incredible waste of life, just a waste. And very possibly you would hope that maybe it could have been prevented. But she struck me always I used to watch Love Island, and she struck me as a strong, funny, confident, sassy woman. And it just goes to show you that you don't know, do you? And I say that to people who did troll her, you don't know. And I'd say more too. I'd say that a lot of what is said online is hateful, but it is also very often nowadays hate masquerading as virtue. So it's having a go at somebody because they've said the wrong thing and you're on the side of right, so you'll have a go at them because you're on the side of right. But that's not what really it is about. It's about you look like you're trying to be virtuous and you look like you're on the side of right, but actually you're just having a go. And that's what it boils down to. And you know what? That sanctimony, that hate, that is actually, as I say, masquerading as virtue. I heard a woman who was in the Magdalen laundries earlier on News Talk on Pat Kenny, and she was talking about being put there. It's the same. It's the same. That we blame the church for that, but society put those women there, and it was the same. It was hate masquerading as virtue. They were fallen women and people turned their backs on them, but actually they were just putting the boot and they were just being cruel. And we have it today, and they come for you online now with their pitchforks. They don't knock up to your door and lock you up in a thing, but they're happy to see you fall and they're happy to tear you down. And I actually have only ever tweeted once before in my life about Caroline Flack, and it was when she was in the complete shitstorm she was in. And I said, you know, I sort of stuck up for her. I said, it was interesting to me to see that she had had a domestic incident in her house that I don't know the ins and outs of any more than anyone else does. And suddenly she was being pilloried in tabloids, pilloried in social media. She'd had to resign from her job and all of that had happened. And around the same time, Boris Johnson had also, which I also don't know anything about particularly, a domestic incident in his home. And he was just elected at the same time prime minister. And there are double standards. There are nasty forces at work behind all of this. And I'll be really honest with you, lads. I've been on the receiving end, and I have nothing like the profile of someone like Caroline Flack. But I have trended on Twitter for days at a time on Irish Twitter because I have said something that has annoyed the mob. And they have come for me. And often it's a quite a reasonable thing I have said. I've said something the last time I said something factual and correct about cervical check, and they came for me for days at that stage. And I was called the C word, and I was told to kill myself, and I was told I should be raped, and all the things that I get told quite regularly. And I think the first time I was ever in the firing line was a time I talked about our drink culture, and that inflamed fires like you wouldn't believe. And again, kill yourself. I don't know how many times I've been told now to kill myself. Supposing I did. We'd all say, God, we should all be kinder, wouldn't we? But that wouldn't change. I still have, by the way, people. I still have some screenshots and things of people who have sent me absolutely not anonymous because I have their names, but it sounds very threatening. I have their names. But I have messages which you wouldn't believe the hate that's coming off them. But they're as if they're like, oh, you do this. You should be ashamed. You're this, you're that. It's usually the C word. That's what I usually am by those people. You're not the good guys. When you're screaming hate into somebody's face and you think you're the good guys, you're not. You're really not. And it's, I've seen too many of us. And last thing I'm going to say, because I know I can see the lines have opened up and people are ringing about this. I met somebody once. It was very, very interesting. I was out for a night and I met a girl in a bar and she was very pleasant. It was an event and she was chatty and she said, oh, will I buy you a drink? And she was really, really nice. And she was all, oh, I think I know you from Twitter and blah, blah, blah. And we, you know, let's do a selfie and we should follow each other. And so she gave me her Twitter account number and I saw it. And I remembered her because I'd seen things she'd said about me. I'd seen things she'd said about me online. Obnoxious things, subtweets, insults, all that kind of stuff. And now face to face, I was great. And that's the sad truth. Anonymity allows us to behave in one way rather than another. And because I am the person I am, and I think 53106, I'd love to hear your views on this, because of the person who I am, I said it to her. I said, oh, I know who you are. I see now who you are. I've seen the stuff you've said about me. And she said, she was a bit taken aback. And she said, yeah, I was in a bad place. And to be honest, I was just looking for likes. If that's what you do, looking for likes, you try and insult and demean and tear someone down, don't think it doesn't affect them, because it does. I'm not the most unrobust person, but I have sat at home when there has been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of messages coming in that are all horrible over a few days, and I have felt dreadful. So don't think you don't. Laura Whitmore is right. Your words have an effect. Think before you tweet, before you post, and try and work out if you're actually just putting bile out there and insult and hatred. Are you really virtuous? I would suggest that a lot of you aren't. I know after the last cervical check thing, and this is the last thing I'm going to say, is there were people who were going onto my Facebook page and trying to take screenshots of it to post to Twitter to suggest that even though I was taking a kicking on Twitter, I wasn't sad enough. I wasn't unhappy enough. Oh, look, she's out. She's out. She's out having a nice time, and really she should be in sackcloth and ashes. What's wrong with you that you go online just to make someone else feel bad, that you don't even know, that you don't even know their struggles? Give me a break. But anyway, 53106, you're not the good guys. If you are the ones peddling hate dressed up as virtue, you are not the good guys in my view. And I no longer care what people like that think, to be honest. Susan is on the line. Susan, sorry for the rant. Susan's in Roscommon. What do you think we should do about all of this?
Hi, Ciara. Thanks, Mel, for having me on the show here today. Ciara, what I was suggesting yesterday on Twitter is that to get rid of the curtain of anonymity, people should be asked to scan a passport or a driver's license or a social security number before they can set up a social media account. And the reason I suggest that is because there's an element of accountability there. And as you said, and I'm sorry to hear about all of the comments that were thrown. I've seen the harassment you've had on Twitter myself, and I honestly don't know how you dealt with it. But I know for a fact that an awful lot of the people who are telling you to go and kill yourself absolutely wouldn't if they didn't have that curtain of anonymity, and they could be held accountable for hate speech and for making statements like that online.
I do agree with you, Susan, but I've also seen, and I'm saying this as somebody who has gotten the hate,
yeah.
So I'm trying to be balanced. But I have also seen people say, would you really, the way social media is, the way Facebook and Twitter and all those big, huge businesses are, do you really want them to have, you know, personal details about you in a way? Because do we trust them? I don't trust Facebook in particular at all. So how much detail do I want to give?
Well, Ciara, the thing about social media giants like Facebook and Twitter is they already have a huge amount of information on everybody. And if they wanted to, they could get any information that they liked. I mean, the only thing that they would have as an additional form of information is your social security number or a passport number or a driver's license. And I don't think that that information should be made public, but I do think that they should have, you should be verified in some regard that if you do spew hate speech, that you can be held accountable. And I think across a wide range of platforms, this could take effect, including people who are setting up websites. They could give their identification as well. And I think especially for children online, I think it's very, very important. There's a huge amount of problems across the board on social media, and it affects you, it affects me, it affects everybody.
Yeah, and it does. And it, do you know what? It causes a chilling effect on what people say. Yeah. I now no longer engage the way I once did on social media because why would you? Do you know what I mean?
I never engage in controversy on Twitter. I don't know how many tweets I've typed in and deleted because I felt a wave coming. And it starts with one. One person retweets your tweet with a comment so everybody else can jump on the bandwagon then. But outside of us, and we're adults, Kira, you've got children online now. You've got the online bullying. And I mean, you've cyber psychologists out there at the moment and they're crying out for something to be done. And with the likes of Jack Dorsey and Mark Zuckerberg, they can actually implement this fairly quickly. And it is something that could be done.
I do believe that some form of identification something it would help, because I had that experience, as I say to you, that somebody I'd seen say obnoxious things about me online. When I met them face to face, they were absolutely lovely to me. Now, I wasn't overly impressed, I have to confess, but at the same time, how people behave face to face is so completely different
it's
to how they behave behind a keyboard.
Absolutely. And these people would never ever spew half as much hate if they knew they were accountable and they knew that there was some way they could be traced.
You're not wrong.
I do think it would make a small change for the positive going forward.
Yeah, look, thank you. I appreciate the call and I appreciate what you're saying. Susan says we should do away with anonymity. It would change everything, wouldn't it? Because if you were accountable for what you say, the way you are if you say it in a newspaper or if you say it, like if I say something now or whatever, if you were accountable in that way, would it change your actions? Isn't it the photo and the false name? If I don't have a burner account, I don't have a fake Twitter profile somewhere else I could dip into. I know some people do. I don't. But if I did, would I behave differently in that account than in my own account? Maybe. I don't know. I don't have one. But I think the anonymity thing gives people leeway to often behave just horribly. Just horribly. Kate says, Caroline Flack's death is tragic. Yeah, totally. It's such a waste. I don't know much about her as I don't watch the programme she was connected to, but all I see is history repeating itself. Marilyn, Diana, they all died tragically. It was the same. Sadly, nothing changes. Yep. And Claire says, Kira, I read this recently. Never follow the herd. They are always judgmental and hate-filled, even when they are pretending to be virtuous and righteous. The new Puritans should not be allowed to control the agenda. Claire, you've named it. The sanctimony is coming off the wokerati now. It's not coming off the former, you know, it used to be that the good Catholics persecuted everyone around these parts, and if you didn't toe the line, you were in trouble. But now it is the wokerati, and it's the same thing. People don't like hearing that, but it's the same thing. It's judgment, it's sanctimony, and it is hate dressed up as virtue. Carl is on the line in Limerick. Carl, what do you think of social media? Are you a fan? Do you use it much yourself?
Yeah, good morning, Kira. How are you? I do. I use Twitter a fair bit. I use Twitter for kind of, you know, trying to find people, a bit of banter, you know, just taking part and stuff. And then I use LinkedIn for kind of formal business. They're the two that I use. I suppose, look, at my view on all of this, obviously what happened at the weekend was tragic. It's crazy stuff.
Dreadful.
It's crazy stuff. I suppose, look, you were talking there, the last speaker and yourself talking about, you know, people coming on and venting anger or whatever. In my view, it speaks volumes about those people, you know, the kind of people they are. Yeah, and I do agree that people shouldn't be allowed to go on Twitter and be anonymous. They should, you know, you should have to log who you are. You should have to maybe, you know, people are saying put in your passport and show who you are. And like, if you're going on for good reasons, you won't have an issue with that. If you're going on for bad reasons, well then, you know, it might be a problem to you. But I think the people that do this, they're the ones with the issues and the problems. I mean, they need to start looking at themselves and see what's actually wrong, because I just don't get it. And again, your last speaker said it's so easy to get dragged into something. It is easy. You know, an argument might start about something or something controversial. It's very easy to start.
That's what I was going to ask you, Carl. Do you ever, and this is the thing, do you ever make comments about controversial things? Because it is, you take your life in your hands in a way, because they come for you like a pylon, like a mob.
Yeah, well, I suppose, look, it works both ways. If you say something, you're afraid someone's going to come for you. But it's actually, do you know, if you're on a run in something and you say something maybe that you shouldn't have said about somebody else, I'm not saying very personal, but it might be just, you know, something that's going on in a kind of a stream of an argument.
Yeah.
It's actually very easy. And I agree with that last lady. You need to actually, before you push the tweet button, you need to read what you're saying and think about the person on the other side that you're actually making the comment about and what the effect would be on them. And would you like to get back at you? So it is, we just need to think. Like,
I think we do. I think you're right.
Yeah, we do a lot of stuff down. I'm involved in a lot of stuff to do with mental health down here in Limerick. We do a few events and things. So, lots of people aren't in a good place.
No, and also lots of people aren't robust, and lots of people are young, and there's all of that. Correct. We seem to have a different set of rules online to face-to-face. Thank you, Carl. And Natasha's on the line too. Natasha, is online abuse something you've experienced yourself?
Hi, Ciara. Yes, I have actually. I posted something that somebody sent me recently, which I would class actually as racial hatred.
Okay.
I kind of agree with you. I was listening to the beginning of the show. I find that if I tweet support for women or support for ethnic minorities, those seem to be the topics that bring in trolls.
Really?
And that's really disheartening. I have posted support of Meghan Markle when she was being trolled, and that ended up with me being trolled.
Really?
Interestingly enough.
A lot of people made the point over the weekend. Piers Morgan came out and said he was very sad about Caroline Flack dying, and a lot of people made the point that he has been very critical, personally critical of Meghan Markle. And what's the difference, if you like, in a way? It shouldn't be that some women are off limits and some are open season. But you know, I've no doubt if anything happened, God forbid, to Meghan Markle, everybody would be wringing their hands there too. But there's been horrific things said about her.
Yeah, I mean, I tweeted out something to say that I liked Meghan Markle and that I supported her. And, you know, I absolutely do support her in what she's done. So I think we can be very cruel to women. I do think there is some misogyny in there. And that, like I say, I mainly talk about mental health. That's my business. I'm also a very passionate animal rights activist, but I don't tend to get much trolling unless I speak about
those are women. And do you mind me asking, and it shouldn't make any difference at all, Natasha, but are you a person of color? Are you yourself a mixed race?
I'm not.
You're just somebody who doesn't like to see racism.
I don't like to see racism. Yeah. I support women of colour. I work with women of colour. I consider myself an ally.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's not liked. That's not liked.
No, and I think that's totally fair. It shouldn't matter whether you should be. I think all of us should be against racism, whether we are whatever race we're from ourselves. That shouldn't make any difference. Look, thank you. And I think Natasha's right. 5-3-1-0-6. Do you think women get it worse in the neck? I am a woman, so I can't really compare what it would be like for me if I was a man. But I suspect it probably is true, and it's ongoing. There's Jamelia, that actress, Jamelia Jamil, isn't she? I've seen tons of stuff about her. Like, leave people alone. If you're part of a pylon mob, do you think you're the good guys? I really don't think you are, lads. The government, Ciara, could generate a unique social media account number needed to use social media. It's linked to a social security number, and then Facebook, Twitter, etc. don't have your social security number but can still hold you to account. That's not the worst idea. There should be something. I really do think there should. And Alison on Twitter says, sorry, I missed that. Ciara, you're rightly making the point that sticks and stones may break your bones, but words can also cause massive pain. And if you engage in a Twitter pylon against those whose opinions don't match your own, and if you're following that mob, it is hate dressed up as sanctimony. Yeah, I totally think it is. Anita from the Hair Cafe in Dublin is on the line. Anita, what did you do in your business following the news of Caroline Flack over the weekend?
Well, for me, like many of us, I had a sleepless night thinking about Caroline and what had happened to her and the witch hunt that she endured.
Yeah.
And I just said to myself, as a business, like, I'm supporting these trash mags or rag mags or whatever you want to call them. And I kind of deeply thought about it. And, like, for me, I'm sure most of my clients are probably not even buying these magazines. But, yeah, I'm fueling this toxic behavior. So we've decided to get rid of all the magazines from our salon, and we're going to replace them with positive magazines, some personal growth books. I put the post up on Facebook, and I got 3,000 positive likes with lots of people recommending fantastic books, fantastic good positive reading material. So we're very excited about the change.
Yeah, well, that's. I do think you're right. We've been talking about social media, but you're not wrong. The magazines peddle scandal and sensationalism and all that stuff, as do
the
British tabloids. Our own tabloids are nothing like the British tabloids, as in they're not nearly as vicious. But the British tabloids are appalling in what they'll say about people.
Yeah, like, if they weren't reporting on the circumstances that happened between Caroline and her partner, it was more, though, her character and dragging her down as a person.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just not right, is it?
Well, I think that's
wishy-washy, but, like...
A lovely thing.
Everything is energy, and, you know, positivity can only grow by doing these little steps to ensure that I'm not spreading negativity and my company is not spreading negativity.
Yeah, I like it. Fair play to you. I think it's very nice, Anita. Thank you for coming on.
We've had a great response, and there's lots of cafes and other salons that are following suit. So it's a real positive change. Yeah, we're absolutely delighted.
Good on you, and thank you for coming on. That's Anita from the Hair Cafe. They're doing away with the kind of the trashy mags that go, oh look, somebody's put on 2 stone. Oh look, somebody's broken up with some. You know, the stuff that's prurient and goes after people. That's kind of horrible, isn't it? I am cynical about social media, though. When I hear Anita say 3,000 people liked it, I wonder to myself how many of those 3,000 people are also the kind of people that have a go when they see the mob. Because is it that a lot of people don't think? They just don't think for themselves, and they go with the flow, and they fall in with whatever is being said, good, bad, or indifferent. I'm pretty confident that a lot of the people posting "be kind" stuff this weekend probably have also had a go at other people online. I would imagine all of that is true. 53106, I'd love to know what people think about this. There's something in us that seems to want to tear down other people, and it is not our best instinct, and I think we should look at that and address it.
Lunchtime Live with Kira Kelly on News Talk.
Earlier on in the programme, I was talking about the terrible waste of life, the tragic death of Caroline Flack, who was indeed literally trolled mercilessly online and indeed in the tabloid press. And John is on the line in Dublin. John, do you think that social media is a toxic place?
It is a toxic place because, you know, it's a classic case of technology versus nature, and I don't think people are... We're prepared to be in a space where we don't have empathy, because, you know, empathy is something that comes from different parts of the brain. It comes from, you know, cells in our brain called mirror receptors that make us pick up on the change in somebody's body language or their tonal inflections and stuff like that when we're talking to them. And you don't have that with technology. You don't have it on social media.
So do you mean that you can't see that you're hurting somebody because they're not reacting by wincing or whatever, and so you can't see it, so you don't feel it and you don't care, or you care less? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, you don't have to face the consequences of saying something awful to somebody and making them feel terrible, because, you know, for 90 million years we've had eyeballs, and as squishy things we've been able to communicate visually, but now we can't, because 50 years ago the internet came along, where we can communicate by words, and that's only about 7% of our communication. So we lose everything that would make it human, I suppose, when we send a message to somebody through Twitter or Facebook or any of that sort of stuff, because, like, the internet it's sensationalism at its best. You know, Facebook is great in the morning when you're loving your sister, and by lunchtime she's after cheating on her husband and everybody hates her. But then you go onto Instagram, and Instagram is only the highlights. And then you can go onto Twitter. And when you go onto Twitter, you have faceless avatars, you know, all these faces.
There is a different vibe on each of them. I mean, Instagram is all, oh, look at me, and I've had my dinner, or I'm wearing this nice dress, and it's all pictures. And I've never really seen much nastiness on Instagram. It's a tiny bit bland sometimes, but I've never seen much nastiness. Facebook is somewhere between Instagram and Twitter. You do see some backbiting, not massive, but some, although a lot of it is quite pleasant and, you know, inspirational quotes and stuff too. But then Twitter is a blood sport for some people. And like, you know, like I'm looking at a screenshot I have myself of somebody, and I won't read the name who sent it, but it isn't an anonymous account. And it says, "Hi, Kira, you are a total C word to even think about." I was commenting on Cervical Check, commenting on something you personally know nothing about. You are a drug pusher. You work for Big Pharma. Be ashamed, you C word. like that came in from a woman's account. And I actually looked at her profile, and it said on her profile, "Positivity costs nothing." I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh out loud, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's very easy to throw stuff like taglines like that up onto your accounts and then to forget that you put it there.
Yeah.
You know, but the likes of that is a case of hurt people, you know. They just find something that triggers an emotional response.
I think you're
and
right.
As soon as it triggers an emotional response, they're straight onto social media to talk about it. Everybody yesterday over the Caroline Flack thing, everybody was giving out and everybody was complaining. I did myself. I kind of said, hold on, you don't be calling out news websites and stuff like that, because if you click on those stories, and you interact with those stories, like the stories that are picking on her or picking on anybody else, you're just as guilty as the newspapers, because all they're doing is they're supplying you with something that you want. Their analytics tell them that you want to click on stuff like that, because that's what happens. It's the amygdala, the part of the brain that controls emotional release, tells us to stare at car accidents when we go past.
I know. You're all a bit too sensible now, in fairness, John, because you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right in everything you're saying. But but we should be old enough and mature enough, surely. And I'm sorry, we're out of time, but old enough and surely mature enough to know that a bit of empathy goes a long way. Just bear in mind one thing before I let you all go, because we are at the end. The people who you make those really nasty, cutting, insulting comments about, the people whom lots of you out there have made those comments about, and you've told people that they should kill themselves and they should die and all, because somebody's sending them, because I'm getting them, so somebody's sending them. They read those comments because they get a notification, and they read them alone in their bedrooms late at night, the people that you're talking to, and it gets in on them. Whether you meant that to be the case, whether you thought that it wouldn't get in with them, or whether you really wanted it to get in with them, it does. So maybe think twice. Just think twice, because not everybody is so robust. And RIP Caroline Flack, because I think it was a terrible waste of life. And I do think she was pushed, to be honest. And I think it's disgusting. I'm sorry, we're out of time. But the winner to today's competition is Carmel Burns from County Waterford. The answer to what's the fear of arachnophobia a fear of? It's spiders. So you're off to Fota Island. Enjoy it. Let's all just try and enjoy our lives and each other and all the good stuff in our lives. I'm afraid we're out of time. My thanks as ever to the fab team of Michael Quilligan, to Claire Darmody, to Emma Cawley and to Ross Leahy. I will be back at 12 tomorrow on Lunchtime Live in Dublin. But the next day we're going to be in Cork. Don't forget the walk for day 50. See is all there. But for me, Kira, thank you all for listening. Thank you all for talking.
Lunchtime Live with Kira Kelly on News Talk.